Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll take the time to give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you this afternoon. And we're going to give out that number here probably a couple of times, but you can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, let's go ahead and open our program this afternoon with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ and help us to encourage believers to be salt and light in the world around us. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you this afternoon, and I was joking with Pastor Lutz. I'm going to have to pay him for a promo there as he closed out his program in the last half hour, and I appreciate that there, and it's a good program if you get a chance to listen. Of course, we've got Pastor Lutz is on from 1 o'clock until 1:30, and then myself, and then Pastor Andy Rusnacko comes on at 2 o'clock, and another good half hour, and we're kind of the Independent Baptist lineup, I think, but it's a good hour and a half, hopefully, or at least the first half and the second half hours are good, or third half hours are good, and we try to be something in between them, but again, encourage you to listen to those programs. All right, well, we're going to get into a couple of things here this afternoon, and again, as always, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. Toll-free, 888-677-9673. Had a great time last night. Went out to Chagrin Falls and at the, I believe it was the Tanglewood Country Club, and Rafael Cruz, the father of Senator Ted Cruz. If you've been following the news, of course, you know Senator Cruz has put his hat in the ring running for president and on the Republican ticket there. But his father, Rafael Cruz, tremendous speaker. He was out there last night and had a great time. And I turned to my wife at one point. I said, he must have listened to one of my messages or one of my radio programs, because he was talking about something in Exodus chapter 18, which I've talked about before. I've talked about it on the radio. I've talked about it at our church. And after listening last night, I thought, you know, this would be a good thing to hit upon again today, because especially when we think about what's happening in the world around us, the Bible tells us that one of the ways that we would know that the return of Christ is near, and when I talk about the return of Christ, I'm talking about not only the catching away of the believers, which is the first stage. There's the catching away of the believers, an event we call the rapture. Then after that, of course, is the seven-year tribulation period, which occurs after that takes place. And then, of course, at the conclusion of the seven-year tribulation period is the physical return of Christ to the Mount of Olives just outside of Jerusalem. And that would be the second phase of his return. And if I can diverge or digress there for just a moment, I like to tell our people that it's kind of like he came in the first place, because, in fact, the angels told the disciples when he ascended up into heaven from the Mount of Olives, he said he'd return in the same way, which, of course, he means he physically returned to the Mount of Olives. But there's a little more to it. If you think about it, his first coming was in two phases. He was born as a baby laid in a manger in a stable at Bethlehem, and relatively few people took note of that. And then, of course, the public entry of Jesus into his ministry was much more noticed, and it turned the whole world around. In fact, we even have a calendar kind of the number of years is based on when Christ lived. And that's why it's the year 2015 AD, which in Latin, of course, refers to after Christ. So, but getting back to Exodus chapter 18, we think about this. While we're in this world waiting for the Lord to return, we're not supposed to be doing nothing. The Bible says we're supposed to be salt and light in the world. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is preventing, he's withholding the mystery of iniquity. And I believe he's doing that through his people, through us, through you and I. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit is working through you in the world. We're supposed to be salt and light. Salt retards spoilage, light pushes back the darkness, and when the Holy Spirit's ministry of restraining the spirit of iniquity is done, God will catch us up into heaven to be with him, and then the Holy Spirit's current ministry will come to an end. He'll still work in the world in a different ministry. It's another story, another day, but the Antichrist will be revealed. So in the meantime, there are people trying to take away the freedoms that we enjoy. There are people who are trying to set up a one-world government. There are people who are trying to set up a new world order. And this comes up every once in a while, talking about these things. And so I thought a practical way, since we're in a time of year, we're getting close to, we've got, of course, the fall elections coming up, but certainly here in northeastern Ohio, in the Cleveland area, everybody's kind of getting excited now that basketball and everything's over for another year. They've got some of the first, I believe it's the first of the Republican candidates for president's debate coming up this summer. And then, of course, next year, we have the Republican National Convention going to be just north of here in Cleveland, Ohio. And, of course, it's a presidential election year. So politics is going to be on everybody's mind coming up here in the course of this next year, year and a half until that election. And Rafael Cruz made a very good point. One of the people hosting the event said we had probably about 17 months, and he said, no, we've got about 7 months because the primaries, we need to get active in the primaries. And that's what kind of brought me over here to Exodus chapter 18, because we as believers need to be involved in selecting our leadership. And too many times we of believers have abdicated our responsibility to the non-believers. And, you know, it shouldn't be any surprise that we get the kind of candidates that we do. And we always wind up saying, boy, you know, I have to hold my nose when I go in to vote. Well, Plato made this observation way back even before Christ walked the earth in the incarnation. He said the penalty good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men. And, you know, I think we live in that day right now. We have been indifferent to public affairs. And in Exodus chapter 18, let me start reading here in verse number 13. It says, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning until unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou dost to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou dost is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. It shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them head over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard cases they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. Now, I read that lengthy passage there in Exodus chapter 18 from 13, verse 13 down through verse number 26, so that you can see what was going on. Moses was ruling one man, attempting to rule as a godly leader over a million people, over the Jewish people that he'd led out of Israel or out of Egypt. And it was wearing him out. His father-in-law, Jethro, had come out to see him, and he watched what Moses was doing, sitting from morning till night, hearing the cases that the people brought to him and trying to rule over the people all by himself. And there's a problem there. Even good people, when they're put into that sort of a situation, they're going to have problems. And you put an unsaved person, and you put an unrighteous person there, that's where you get your tyrannies and your dictators, one man trying to rule over everybody. Now, in truth, one man usually can't. He's usually the spokesperson for a group, which is more like an oligarchy. But in this sense here, there's a biblical form of government that's given here. And let me just touch on a couple of things here. And this is important, because we need to understand that God has, and I agree with Reverend Cruz when he was speaking last night, that God has given us an incredible document in the United States Constitution, and it's obviously it's not God-breathed like the Bible. You know, we have the greatest guide to living, the greatest guide to government, the greatest guide to everything that's important is found in your King James Bible. But when you look at documents that have been produced by men, remember the Bible came because God spoke unto holy men, or he used holy men of God that spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. It's God-breathed, God-inspired them. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Bible says. But in the Constitution, when the people at the Constitutional Convention at the suggestion of Benjamin Franklin began meeting in prayer every day. Prayer, they observed some prayer and fasting because they weren't getting anywhere. And so they began meeting and praying, and God began to move in their hearts, and they produced an incredible document. And it was produced by fallible men. It's not inspired by any means, but I believe God guided them to see some biblical truths to put inside of this. And I've mentioned this before. We have something here that's very reflective in Exodus chapter 18 of what we have now. And let me just, before I get to the qualifications there real quick, if you look at this, he told Moses, Jethro, and I believe that God inspired Moses' father-in-law to say this. He said that he would place these men that they selected as rulers over thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Excuse me. And if you notice, there's a great parallel there. We have, in a sense, if you look at the rulers over thousands, you can make that parallel to the local government, rulers of hundreds, a parallel to the county government, rulers over 50, a parallel to the state's governments, and then rulers of tens would be a parallel to the federal government. And there's another thing there, that when people had matters, they solved them at the lowest level of government. if at all possible, it would be taken care of at the level of the rulers over the thousands, which tells me, I believe that we look at the founding of this country and we look at the Constitution of the United States, most of our problems, most of our things were to be taken care of at the lowest possible level of government, at the local level. That's one of the reasons that the Department of Education was never provided for in the United States Constitution. The education of our children is not best served out of an agency in Washington, D.C., but rather in your local community, your local school board, your local school district. That's where the decisions affecting your children should be taking place. Certainly no higher than the county level, as far as I'm concerned. And I know where my wife grew up in Kentucky, the school board is organized on a county level. Where I grew up, of course, in Richfield, I went kindergarten through 12th grade in the Revere School District, and it was a combination for the most part of Richfield and Bath. And so it was a little bit above just Richfield or Bath individually, but it was below the county level. But still, it's close to the local level where people can have an impact in their local school. And now this brings the next thing, and hold that in mind about having an impact at the local level. When Moses was instructed by his father-in-law, there's several things that he was told here. And in verse number 20, Jethro said that these men that are selected, and actually, let me back up a second. This is not the men, this is the people. He says in verse number, let's go back to verse 19, actually, because that's where the sentence starts, Exodus 18, verse 19, "Hearken now to my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them," that's referring back to the people, "teach them ordinances and laws." That needs to be taught in our schools, ordinance and laws. Our Constitution, our federal Constitution, our state Constitution, we need civics in the schools to be taught. People need to understand our history. Our history has been changed. This country was founded as a Christian country. I believe it was Supreme Court Justice Samuel Chase in 1799. He said the Christian religion is the established religion, and all sects and denominations of Christians are placed upon the same equal footing. He wasn't including the Muslims there. He was saying that this nation was founded as a Christian nation. It was founded on the principles of the Word of God. People need to be instructed in that, and then not only instructed, he says that they may... and show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. And we need to instruct our people how they should live. What is the goal of this nation? Where are we going as a people, as a country? And what is our role in the world? We need to be instructing those things and then showing how we can do it. In a sense, the way is the goals and the work is the strategies, how we as a nation working together can make a difference in the world and uphold godly principles. And then let me go through verse 21, 22, and I've got a caller calling in I'll get to in just a moment here. He gives some qualifications here, and he says in verse 21, "The men that we select," and notice they're selected, "thou shalt provide out of all the people able men." That's number one, able men. They've got to have ability. They should be proven. They should be tried. They should have experience. What do we say when we elect somebody that has about 2.5 years in the United States Senate and a few years as a state senator where he didn't show up much? Well, that's enough of that, I guess. But we should elect able men, people who have ability, and then such as fear God. Now, think back of people who get elected and stay in public office for 20, 30 years. Do they match up to this list? Think back to the people you voted for in elections. Think of who's throwing their hat in the ring for president on the Republican and Democrat side. And think of this as you hear what they say and you look at their records and as you contemplate voting in the fall elections and then in the primaries next spring. Are they able men? And this could be women as well. Are they such as fear God? Well, yeah, we have people in positions of authority in this country who are trying to push God out of the government. Men of truth. Well, need I say more? Men of truth. Hating covetousness. They shouldn't be greedy of the things that others have. And I think they're greedy mostly of power. And then those to be placed over the thousands, 50s, 100s, 50s, and tens. That means all the way from your local city council, your local school board, through your county commissioners or county council, to your state government, to the federal government. These are the characteristics. And they're to be deputated to handle things at the lowest level so that only the biggest things should go to the highest levels. And the result that we can see there in verse number 21 or 23, if thou shalt do this thing and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. That means a continual stable form of government can continue. And then he says, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. That means peace among the people. Stable, continual form of government and a peaceful population. That's what God wants for us, and that's what we can get if we apply biblical principles to who we vote for government. You're listening to Live with Pastor Al. We've got Nancy calling in. Nancy, welcome to the program this afternoon. Sorry to keep you hanging there.
Oh, that was very interesting what you were saying, and I would really love to have heard Pastor Rafael Cruz, but I waited too long and it was filled up. But my question today is, and it might sound a little bit silly, but LeBron James on the day of, you know, the critical, I think it was Tuesday night, you know, game six, when he
right.
said, called the national media, I am the best basketball player in the world. And, you know, I'm just thinking about James 4:6, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Do you think God had anything to do with making sure that you know we did not win game six, because LeBron sort of acts like it's his team, you know, and he's so arrogant. Although I do admire his basketball ability, I just would like to know, do you think God does get involved in sports? I've never heard anybody more arrogant besides maybe Muhammad Ali, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So if you could give me some insight on that, I'd appreciate it.
Well, in some senses, I'm the worst person to ask because I'm not a basketball follower. although I will confess that I probably watched more of basketball in the past couple of weeks than in the past probably 15 years, 20
me
years,
too.
30
me
years.
Me too. I'm a fair weather fan, believe me.
And all I watched basically was usually about the last 5 minutes or so.
Because yeah.
I can't, it doesn't hold my interest long enough to do that. James 4:6 is a very interesting verse where it says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. And, you know, how much God gets involved in basketball games, you know, that brings up the question, what if you have believers in both sides, both praying to God for a win? Who does God listen to?
Yeah.
but let me tell you something. I just actually saw this morning.
Uh-huh.
And the guy that was on Golden State, the leader of the team, I guess the captain of the team or whatever,
Stephen Curry.
Yes. Apparently, he's a born-again Christian.
Oh, I think I did hear that.
Yeah, I heard that this morning.
That.
So, you know, one could argue if he's a born-again Christian and LeBron's not, and if somebody was praying that they would do their best, which prayers would God be listening to?
Oh, that's very good. Yeah.
You know, so might have to leave it at that for me. You have to get somebody who's more into basketball. But I will say this. There are some prayers of the unsaved person that God does hear. And I believe there's two types of prayers. One is if an unsaved person will pray and ask God to reveal himself to him, to reveal the truth of the gospel to him, I believe God will honor that prayer.
And Jeremiah 29:13.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And the other prayer, the unsaved person, is when an unsaved person sees the truth, When the Holy Spirit's opened their eyes to the truth, they pray and they trust Christ as their Savior, God will definitely answer that prayer. And he says, seek and ye shall find. And he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what we need to pray for all of our basketball players and everybody, that they trust Christ as their Savior. Hey, we're out of time. Thanks for the call. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.